And I'm sure all of us will be able to think of areas of the world where we would probably rather not live because of how difficult it is to live there at all, or perhaps particularly as a Christian. Now, of course, Ukraine has dominated our news for a very good reason now for, well, a couple of months at least now, isn't it, sadly? But if you're a Christian, the five toughest places to live because of persecution. Wow, that's fun. That's bright, isn't it? Five toughest places to live. Afghanistan, number one. North Korea, Somalia, Libya, and the Yemen. Those five countries top. Open Doors provide a watch list each year. It's a Christian charity reviewing the amount of persecution. And those are the five hardest places to live as a Christian. We don't suffer anything like that persecution. But I'm sure much closer to home, you can think about things in your own situation which make being Christian tough, difficult. May not take the form of persecution, may not even take the form of mockery, but there'll be stuff in our own lives, maybe personal relationships, maybe a personal struggle with temptation, particularly temptations perhaps from before you were a Christian, which still plague and persist. If you're anything like me, you're human, and that's going to be the case. It may be stuff, if you're at school, that you're one of the very few Christians in your school or in your college or in your year group, in your tutor group. You may be in an RE class. You may be the only one who holds a particular point of view because of your understanding of what the Bible says. And you might find it's difficult to speak up because everyone else takes an opposing view and sees you as a bigot. It may be just the normal things of life. It may be loneliness. It may be concern about money, about your income, about your work. Or maybe our prevailing culture, which is antagonistic to the Christian message as soon as we say that Jesus Christ is the one way that we could get to heaven. So hope in a hostile world is not just for people living in intense persecution. It's for you and it's for me as well. Christians beset by some of the normal things of life that make being a Christian hard, and Christians beset by the things which our culture opposes about the Christian faith, which makes living and serving as a Christian difficult. So what the book we're going to be looking at, the message of 1 Thessalonians, is thought to be, is certainly the first of the letters to have been written in the New Testament. It's thought also to be possibly the first book at all of the New Testament to be written and to be distributed. So Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church is what we're going to be looking at. One of the things that's really striking about the book, despite the persecution and the suffering that church was going through, those young believers were going through, is the amount of thanksgiving there is from Paul as he writes. He's remembering the Thessalonian Christians from a distance now, perhaps a year or two, and he's remembering them with so much thanksgiving. So, first thing for all of you today, you've got pens and papers, and the smart ones of you have already made use of that, which are on your tables. I want you to think about people in your life who you would like to give thanks for. People who, when you remember them, you are thankful for them. Because of the influence they've had on your life, because of the sort of people they are, the kindness they've shown you, or something they've done for you in the past. I want you each to write it down, because I think there is something about, actually, you know, we can all sort of vaguely think in our heads, but I want you to write their names down, because you might use this in prayer later when you go home. Write down the names of a few people that you would like to be, that you are thankful for, because of who they are, the influence they've had on you, or things they've done perhaps in the past. because Paul had been to the city of Thessalonica and he had preached there. They'd heard the message from Paul for the first time, but he hadn't been able to stay in the city. He hadn't been able to stay there to spread the Christian message. He hadn't been able to stay there to become the pastor of the church. He'd been there for approximately 3 weeks. That is not a long time to establish a church, is it? Going there for the first time, preaching the message for the first time to people who've never heard it before, and you're there for just 3 weeks. This is what we read in Acts, if you've got really better eyesight than I have. Acts chapter 17. Paul and his companions, they went into the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, and on three Sabbath days, three Saturdays, he was there, and he reasoned with them from the scriptures, the Bible, the Old Testament, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. Now, some of the Jews were persuaded and they joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Just 3 weeks. 3 weeks to teach them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is and how that changes their lives. And then he had to leave in the night because of the volatile situation, a hostile world. And so this letter to the church was probably written perhaps a year or so later when he's still on his missionary journeys. He had sent his companion Timothy back to the church in Thessalonica by this point, because he's desperate to know about what was going on. Were the Christians there continuing their Christian faith? Or was the persecution and suffering, was the hostility which they faced, had it become too much? Had they given up? Had the tempter come in, taking them back to their old ways of doing things, saying, oh, your old life, it was much more fun, it was easier. So he sends Timothy. And by the time he writes his letter, Timothy has come back with a very encouraging report about the Christians there. And that's where we get the letter of Thessalonians from. And the first thing, as I mentioned, which Paul does, is he gives thanks for them. He thanks them as he remembers them in prayer because of how their lives were changed by the message. And this is what he gives thanks for. He gives thanks because they lived out the Christian message. Having been converted, their lives were changed. In verse 2 or 3, if you've got the Bible open in front of you, we see that. He says, we always thank God for all of you, continually mention you in our prayers. Why? Because we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So the picture is of how radically their lives had changed because of that message that they had received. Their new faith wasn't just about head knowledge. It wasn't just kind of giving agreement in their heads to certain things which they could accept were true. It had changed their lives. They walked the walk of being a Christian. It wasn't just in their head. Their character was being changed by it. Their actions were being changed by it. Now, there's a saying that actions speak louder than words. So which is more convincing to use? Somebody who can make a really clear argument about something, or somebody whose life just is filled with love and passion. I agree, it's the person whose life is filled with love and passion for that thing, which is more convincing. Now, the Thessalonians, their actions spoke as loud as their words. Their actions were evident for all to see that their life had been changed. It talks about their faith resulted in work. Work for Jesus, for the church, for one another. Their labor was prompted by love. And they were able to endure persecution and suffering because they're inspired by hope. So those three words, faith, love, and hope, were really crucial for those early Christians. They followed Paul's example. Verse 6, it says they became imitators of Paul and of the Lord. Now, he hadn't been with them for very long. Three Sabbaths, and the rest of the week, we read in chapter 2, it seems that he was working when he was there because he didn't want to be a burden to them. So it wasn't all just teaching, but they became imitators of Paul. So this is why my question at the beginning about the people you are thankful for. I want you to think about the Christians who have been important in your life. Who for you has modeled the Christian life? Who, because of their life, was shaped by faith and love and hope in Jesus Christ, has had an influence on you? Now, you've all come here today, so somebody has either drawn you, encouraged you, brought you, or you're a member of the church. But there must have been somebody who started that process in your life. Somebody, because of their character, not just the words they said, but because of their character, their faith, their hope, and their love, they had an influence on you. And there's somebody to be thankful for, aren't they? What about us? Is the same true of our lives if we're Christians? I want you to think about the week you've got coming up. You might know what's in store for you. It might be pretty much the same week by week, each weekday. But it might be different. There might be different things happening this week. What opportunities are there for you in the week ahead to serve other people? What other opportunities are there for you to serve the family of believers, to serve other Christians, to serve friends, neighbors, to serve God in that way? How, by being a good friend, can you be a blessing to somebody else? It might be service through an activity the church puts on. It might be serving in food bank. It might be those who lead worship for us. It might be working with young people or senior citizens. It may be nothing to do with the church, but through your life you can be a blessing and serve other people. So what opportunities are you thinking about in the week ahead where you can be that blessing to somebody else, as the Thessalonians have been blessed by Paul? And like Paul, do we pray giving thanks for the changes that we see in the lives of Christians around us? Aren't we blessed here? Recently we've seen Beth being baptized. And we're going to see another baptism before long. Do we give thanks for those that we see coming to faith and changing as they grow in their faith? Are we thankful to God for that in our prayers? Because it's such an encouragement when we see God at work. So, conversion results in changed lives. But conversion also results in giving out the Christian message. So they lived out the Christian message, they gave out the Christian message. Now, I don't know whether it's a party game 6-year-olds still play, but you can tell me on the table over here. My favourite party game, can anyone guess? Anyone? You're right. You got it in one, Janice. Do you still play Pass the Parcel at parties? Good. Because it's the best game. It was always the last game that got played at a party. The whole party built up to Pass the Parcel. It was the climax of the party. And after that, you have jelly and ice cream and cake and all the rest of it. Pass the Parcel, the best game. If you think it's musical statues, anything else, you haven't played Pass the Parcel. It's obviously this game. So one of the things are in Pass the Parcel, nowadays you play it with sweets in each wrapper. Never did that when I was growing up. Modern American invention, I imagine. But in the old days, you used to long for the music to stop and for you to be the one holding a parcel. Even more these days, because when you've got a layer of sweets under each layer of wrapping paper, there's all those more opportunities to win. because every time the music stops, you might get some sweets, even if it's not the big toy which is in the package. So people became quite reluctant playing that game to pass the parcel on. You can imagine it comes to you and you're sort of thinking, music stopping? No, it's just a beat change. Okay, pass it on. The Thessalonian Christians, were they like that? Were they like that game of pass the parcel with the gospel which they received? Would they think, oh, now I've got the parcel. I've got the good stuff. I've received the gospel. My life's been changed. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to keep that to myself. I really don't want to pass it on to anybody else. Or, okay, I'll reluctantly give it. Was that how they were? Is that how we are sometimes with the Christian gospel? Are we wanting to keep it to ourselves? Are we slow to pass it on? Are we lacking passion because we want it for us? We're thankful we've got it, but we're less concerned about passing it on. Thessalonian Christians, they were awesome at it. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. So their faith and love prompted them to live out the Christian message, but also to give out the Christian message. They lived it out and they gave it out. It rang out from them. It wasn't like a little whisper, which, if you're listening really carefully, you would hear it. It rang out. Should we pray to be a church like that, where all of Caterham knows that this is a place where people love Jesus? Pray for that. Pray that we'd be a place where the gospel rings out, not where it whispers out, where people have to sort of be really interested and be passing by and just happen to be there at the right time and hear it. We want this place to be known as somewhere where the gospel rings out, where hope rings out from this place. So are you, and am I, ready to give out this message of hope that we've received at school and college, in our workplace, with our friends, with our family? In a moment, we're going to watch a short video. It's about a Christian couple from a country of intense persecution, country of Iran. The video could be about the people of Thessalonica, because it's about people suffering intense persecution as they were in Thessalonica, and yet they lived out and they gave out the message despite that. But before we do that, I want to give us some encouragement, because I think we can all feel guilty and weak and bad at giving the gospel out, at sharing it with other people. So what was it that helped the Thessalonians to do it? How, despite severe suffering, were they able to proclaim it so boldly? Well, there's a series of different things in this one passage. We could play a game of spot the encouragement, spot the thing, but I won't make it easy. First of all, verse 1 tells us they were safe in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because Paul says to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're kept hidden by God. They're safe in God. That's their security. How else could they do it? Because they were prayed for. That seems the most obvious thing here, isn't it? Paul is giving thanks to them. They were prayed for by him, and therefore they were bold in sharing it. We need to pray for one another, don't we? We need to pray for one another to be bold so the gospel does ring out from us. They've been chosen by God. If you're a Christian today, you've been chosen by God. That should give you such joy and give you a sense of blessing and encouragement that you know you're secure because you're in God, because he's chosen you. Verse 5 tells us because the power of the Holy Spirit was at work. Is at work through Paul, and as believers they had the Holy Spirit and he gave them power. verse 6, it talks about the joy that the Holy Spirit gave them. And last of all, something which is a theme which we're going to come back to throughout the book of Thessalonians, because they are waiting for the return of Jesus. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you know that Jesus is coming back, that's what you're looking forward to. That's your perspective, and that's what will give you, as it gave them, courage to share the message with others. So what was true for them is true for every believer. So I want us, as we leave today, to say to ourselves, we're going to pray that collectively and individually, we too would be people who live out and who give out the Christian message. We're going to turn to watch a short video now. It lasts about 4.5 minutes,